Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
The checkered flag ends the race, but not the race talk. Have your say. Ask the experts. Make your point. Post-race tech. The end of the race is only the beginning.
Oh, another absolutely brilliant race. 2 hours and 40 minutes. We like this. The fans like it. I've had a few tweets, Jeremy, saying, hey, we need to do some more shorter races at the venues for the long races. We did have a sprint race a few years ago at Road Atlanta, a springtime race, and the two venues for the 24 and the 12 have worked really well for these sprint races.
Been brilliant, haven't they? Absolutely superb. I mean, so far as the overall race lead was concerned today, well, there really wasn't much to that because the number 31 car had everybody handled. But all the other classes were very tight, and there was some great racing. And you know, we talked about it at the beginning on the Michelin pre-race report that strategy was going to be super important. Several teams been undone by their strategic decisions.
Shea Adam is still with us as well. We'll bring her on in a minute. Ryan Walker says, if there was a vote for the car of the day, the 912 would get mine after a great recovery drive back up to third position. That was gritty from Vantur, and particularly elbows out from Earl Bamber, but no contact. That was good, clean driving to get that third position back. We'll do some points in a moment as well. But let's talk about the front of the field. Lane has sent this in using the hashtag MichelinPRT. Why were the Cadillacs so dominant at Sebring? They seemed a bit lost at Daytona. And where was that Daytona pace from the Mazdas? Where did that disappear to? There weren't massive BOP changes, Jeremy. So that is basically just, you know, the setup of the cars. Is that what we're thinking?
Well, they actually have a different balance of performance criteria for Daytona. It's unique at Daytona compared to every other track on the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. So the balance of performance numbers, weights, restrictor sizes, fuel loads, all that sort of stuff, that was made just slight adjustments from Petit Le Mans the end of last season. So you know, it hasn't really changed much from then. But this track, I think, you know, with the acceleration out of the tight corners, it just really does suit the Cadillacs. We've seen them been strong here in the past. They're bulletproof, and they showed it again today. The Mazdas, you didn't quite get
and the fuel mileage here. And the fuel mileage here.
Absolutely,
for Cadillacs.
And that's the big thing for Cadillacs here as well. They definitely had a fuel advantage, or definitely appeared to have a slight fuel consumption advantage over both the Mazdas and particularly, I think, the Acuras. The Acuras couldn't go as far as the Mazdas, and the Mazdas couldn't go as far as the Cadillacs.
In fairness, when we had that little problem for the number 7, it wasn't a very Penske pit stop, but they came back well for a while, but then the pace and the fuel mileage took them out of it. Let's do some points, Jeremy, and start at the sharp end of the field. What have you got for DPI?
I've got a tie. I've got a tie for the lead with Oliver Jarvis and Tristan Nunez on 92 points, also 92 points, but will have the tie break in their favour because of the win at the Rolex 24. Ryan Briscoe and Ryan Renger van der Zender, both of those teams on 92 points, 90 points for Joao Barbosa and Sebastian Bourdais. They finished third in each of the three races so far, lie just 2 points back. 4 points behind them, Jonathan Bomarito and Harry Ticknell on 86. So those that last-minute miscue for Mazda, very, very costly. They would have left here with the championship lead. In the manufacturers division, Cadillac They were in control today. They came in tied on points with Mazda and will leave 3 points ahead, John.
And in, LMP2, that's effectively their first regular season run, isn't it? So yeah, as so we say, as it finished in that. GT Le Mans, that's been an interesting one as well. Another good result for Corvette. Porsche salvaging a third place there.
Yeah, it's super tight in GTLM also. Antonio Garcia and Jordan Taylor came in here 1 point behind Laurens Vanthoor and Earl Bamber. But with them finishing second and the Porsche third, that will be switched. So the Corvette team now has a 1 point advantage over Vanthoor and Bamber. In third position in GTLM, Jesse Krohn and John Edwards, they will cling on to third place on 86. So it's 95 for Garcia Taylor, 94 for Vanthoor Bamber, 86 for Krohn Edwards, and then tied 1 point behind them on 85, Tandy Makavecki in the second of the Porsches, and with a win today, Oliver Gavin and Tommy Milner. In the manufacturer points, Chevrolet Corvette and BMW came in tied on points. Because of the win today, Corvette will have now a 4 point edge over Porsche, with BMW 1 point further back in third place.
Well, Ian Vassar-Sullivan have had a couple of good results with their Lexus. That must have done their championship hopes the power of good in GT Daytona.
Yeah, two wins, two races. Remember, this is not a regular season event for GTD. This is just the WeatherTech Sprint Cup.
That's a good
point.
So
we've just had two races in the Sprint Cup. Perfect record now for Aaron Tielitz and Jack Hawksworth. They have 70 points and now a commanding 12-point advantage over both their teammates, Townsend Bell and Frankie Montecalvo, who have 58, but also now with the second place finish, Cooper McNeil and Tony Wielander also on 58 points. Fourth in points then on 53, Bill Oblin and Robbie Foley. In the Manufacturer Championship, again, perfect for Lexus, 70. 62 points for Ferrari in second place. Acura, 57 in third. Then Mercedes, 1 point behind them. And BMW, 1 point behind the Mercedes as well.
Wow, that's really tightened it up. Excellent stuff. Let's go back to your questions. Hashtag Michelin PRT. Stephen Gardner, one of many, he said, last two races scheduled for Saturday dusk. Very entertaining. Something possibly we could have for IMSA in the regular schedule going forward. The sunset to dusk action at CTMP would be great when IMSA gets back to a normal calendar. I do think they work, Jeremy. I mean, let's not forget that the Daytona race, Saturday 4th of July, wasn't meant to go quite that late. We had a wee bit of a delay, but in point of fact, I think the finish time really made that race. I agree with Stephen.
It was fun, wasn't it? And this one too, just finishing in the dusk, it looked sensational. And it was a great race. And yeah, we saw yesterday the practice session was delayed also due to weather yesterday. And that finished just about the same time as did the race this evening. And it looked good yesterday. It looked good today.
This from Real John. Great racing, but the Twitter and Instagram feeds are full of teams saying see you at X and then not turning up. How in the world is IMSA going to score the championship this year with a box full of asterisks? I don't agree with that, John. I know what you're saying. There's been a few withdrawals, but as I've said before, we're in such an odd situation this year. I think getting 26 cars, 27 cars at the races that we've had so far is actually quite an achievement, and we should be celebrating those that are there and not criticising people who can't get there. It's a business, and some people can't get to the races.
What car? I'm not sure what it means by cars pulling out. There's been no pullouts since Daytona. Okay, the Meyer Shank Acuras aren't here, but they were never planning on. They weren't planning to do the sprint races in any case, but everybody else, I think it was at Daytona, is here.
Yeah, and Shea, we haven't had anybody who's been declared on the entry list that we looked at, 2 weeks ago on Midweek Motorsport that didn't turn up, certainly in terms of teams. There were some driver changes, but most of those were necessitated by people not being able to travel due to restrictions.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't really understand the mentality of people being upset that certain cars aren't there. We should be grateful for the ones that are there and the fact that we even do have racing. Because right now, a lot of the world is shut down and not able to resume normal operations. So the fact that we get to break away for 2 hours and 40 minutes on a Saturday night for something that we all love, I'm just happy about that.
Yeah. I know it's difficult, particularly if it's the team that you follow that isn't there, John. But as I say, I think we've got to celebrate the good and accept that we're in very odd situations. But yeah, listen, you know, not everything has to be positive. We understand the frustrations of some of the fans as well. Dave Alcock says, were the tyres used this year? Have stiffer sidewalls? Is the suspension stiffer? But the DPIs just didn't seem to be handling over Sebring's bumps as smoothly as last year. Well, the thing about Sebring, Jeremy, is it evolves, and even those concrete blocks evolves, and they're not necessarily in exactly the same place as they were this time last year.
No, true, but you look at the lap times. Felipe Nasr or Pipo Derani was set fastest lap on the race at 147.6. The lap record here, 47.4. You have to say, I think, conditions a little bit more favourable in March than in July. In LMP2, got a new lap record today, absolutely crushed by Gustavo Menezes at 149.6. I think, he and Spencer Pigot both are underneath the old lap record. In GTLM, 57.4 was the record and remains the record. The fastest lap of this day in GTLM set by Nick Tandy at 157.9.
What were the Audis doing around here? Years ago,
Sebastian Bourdais has the race lap record. Yeah, that was a 43.2. When was that? It's off my chart.
That was a car with 1,000 horsepower, pretty much all the time, and huge. And huge tyres and loads of downforce. When was that? 09?
09, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got to say that those DP... Anybody
cost
that thinks,
a little bit more, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
a little bit more, those cars.
Had a few extra people running it as well, yes. To be honest. Absolutely no doubt in my mind that DPI has worked. They've used the propriety... LMP2 chassis, and IMSA have found a formula that manufacturers want to support, and more importantly will make cars available to private teams who can make a business out of them, and they're proper prototypes. The pace that they're running, you know, is a good pace, and what's more, they're all a similar pace, so they are racing.
Yeah, I think the category now is really good. It's really strong. I like it. I think, as you say, the manufacturers are behind it, the teams are behind it. What's not to like?
Let's have a couple more from hashtag Michelin PRT. I can't think of a question, says Steph Neff. Hello, Steph. But thanks for all the hard work and the social media fancy footwork. I've missed this all so much. And happy birthday to you for Wednesday. Well, we've got a thanks here, haven't we? Everybody in the IMSA paddock who isn't really in the IMSA paddock nowadays, who have kept us, informed on what's been going on behind the scenes. Because frankly, we couldn't do that job, and you certainly couldn't do your job without that.
Yeah, I mean, I would go crazy without group chat for so many different reasons, but all the PR members who just go out of their way to try and help you and to try and get you involved with their team to do things that they can normally do when they're at the track, but they're not at the track and neither are we. So it makes everybody's life even more complicated. And then you feel badly for the PR members who are trying to chase down their drivers who at the best of times are cats that run away from them, and at the worst of times are ignoring their phone calls. So yeah. It can be a very tricky situation.
Jeffrey Bell asking, any word on the extended schedule or when that might be available? I'm interested in Laguna Seca. That's already been announced, Jeffrey. I think if you go to IMSA.com, we have got dates here, haven't we, for the WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca race?
Yes, we do. That is the Oh, goodness. October.
It did move.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's October. Get back to me in a second.
Okay.
What do we say?
November 1st, I think, isn't it?
Second, Jeremy?
November 1st, I think.
Halloween.
It is Halloween. That's right.
Yeah, I think the whole schedule, it's been set, but with the restrictions that are in place and being somewhat fluid, let's say, in different states, we probably can't say that the schedule we have now is definitive, but certainly that is the plan that we have right now. The dates are set in sort of semi-stone, let's say.
Sandstone. We can still rub
sandstone.
It out.
There you go. That's exactly what I was trying to find.
If we need to do that. This from Tom Firth. Reliability issues at Daytona and here in short sprint races for Penske. Do we have to start thinking there's question marks around their hopes for a good result in the endurance races at the Glen PLM and the rescheduled Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring? Is it a case of it's Penske, therefore reliability will be solved by them? It's not been a good start to the season for the Acura team Penske cars.
It hasn't. No, they've certainly been on the back foot here. But which team won the championship last year? Remind me.
That would be Penske.
Yeah.
But they've not.
Team won every championship.
Everything they were in last year. But interestingly, Shea, they've not done well in the longer races, have they?
No, they've struggled. They've gotten one podium finish at the 24 Hours of Daytona. I don't think they've been on the podium at Sebring, as far as I can remember. The Glen, they've always been very competitive, but still no race win. And Petit Le Mans, same thing. So this isn't anything new to see Penske struggling at these tracks in particular. But as Jeremy just said, they win the championship, and they do that by being consistent, by being fast, and by winning the sprint races. So got to hand it to them.
You're right. And I think Acura Team Penske, they knew that this track wasn't going to suit that car particularly well compared to some of the other cars, the same as when they were at Daytona a couple of weeks ago. And another point for Penske is, some of the tracks where they were hoping to shine, like perhaps Canadian Tire Motorsport Park and a couple of other tracks, actually not on the schedule anymore, which certainly doesn't do them any favours. Talking about top five finishes, today, Dane Cameron and Antonio Garcia were tied for the top position of most top fives since the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship back in 2014 on 49. Dane Cameron didn't get a podium today. Antonio Garcia did, however. So chalk up number 50 on the top five list for Antonio Garcia.
Phil says, start time perfect for UK and European viewing. Nearly missed it as I started at the hour rather than half past, mind the way. And by the way, isn't 160 minutes a good race time? It feels just right to me. Has echoes, Jeremy, of the old ALMS 2 hours 45 minutes with the way things happen, and even with a couple of safety cars there, I felt we had some nice long green flag running. And yeah, it works well. It's not too long for people to sit and tune into, particularly on a Saturday night. And that's why that sort of length of race, 2 hours 45, has worked in the American scene for quite some time.
I agree with you. I think this race distance is super. It's it's long enough to be to make strategy important, but not too long. So new race goers are not kind of turned off by it. They're not going to get bored. But we saw this race today. It was action pretty much from start to finish. There was always something exciting going on, and I think this race distance is absolutely excellent. I really like it.
Michael Kalb said, it's the talk of Porsche providing some 911 RSR 19s to privateers next year so the 911 can stay in GTLM. Pascal Zolinden was a big interview on Midweek Motorsport 3 or 4 weeks ago now, Michael. He is the man now who is the head of sport, effectively, for GT racing for Porsche. And he said they'd looked at it, and there's not an opportunity to do that in the current climate. They've been told that they've got to make savings, and that is their saving, is to, for the moment, shutter the operation in the US in terms of the GT Le Mans situation, although the Porsche Cup and the new Cayman Speed Championship will continue. So customer racing there. I think the problem, Jeremy, lies now with the fact that these GT Le Mans cars are so sophisticated that actually in privateers running them, you still need some factory engineers to start them up and run them, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know anything about the politics there, obviously.
There's very few GT Le Mans cars that get into private hands, are there? We haven't seen a privateer Corvette for a long time. Yeah, Porsches we have seen in Europe. Ferraris we do. Not really BMWs either. They have become a very difficult and very expensive car to run and run properly.
I think that's the point. I mean, they are very expensive cars to run, and you're right. You need a lot of manpower resources and just dollars to maintain these cars as well. So it is a big dollar operation. I mean, you know, no racing is cheap these days, but GTD offers a very relative to GTLM, at least, it's a much more cost effective. And I think for privateer teams, you know, if you're a privateer running against the factories in GTLM, you're on a hiding to nothing. You're very unlikely to beat them. So that's why over here, GTLM has evolved into a manufacturer-only category. Mm. Unfortunately, we lost the Ferraris, and we're going to lose the Porsches, which is really sad. You know, whether we continue next year with just four cars in GTLM, maybe somebody else will step up into the breach. Who knows at this stage? Well, Aston Martin has made some noises in the past, have they not, about possibly coming to race over here? If we could get it back up to six, that would be great.
Well, certainly when you have the racing like you have today. Mr. M5 says, why was the race only 2 hours this time around? It was 2 hours 40.
It flew past, didn't it?
Yeah, it felt like 2 hours. You're absolutely right. But that, as we said, Jeremy, that has been a standard sort of length for the shorter races for quite some time. We have 6, we have 12, and we have 24. And, of course, we have the 10-hour at Petit Le Mans. It used to be 1,000 miles or 10 hours, whichever comes first. It's now 10 hours time certain. But the quote-unquote standard race has been 2 hours 40, 2 hours and 45 right since the ALMS days.
It has, that's exactly right. And you know, that's why we have now the sprint championship brought in, particularly for GTD, and that is only for the races that are 2 hours and 40 minutes in race, and the teams that want to do that are able to do so. I like it. I think, you know, it fits the budget, and that's important in this day and age.
Yeah, El Puri, who I'm sure will be delighted with the BOP at the moment, with Corvette winning all the time, says, is there a hint of a manufacturer looking at GT Le Mans for when Porsche makes its exit? I mean, that's what we were just talking about, El. It's tough, isn't it? With the current situation in the car manufacturing business, and with a lot of places being closed down all around the world, motorsport doesn't, Jeremy, exist in a vacuum. I know, for example, Porsche was shut down for 10 weeks. Bentley was the same. And, you know, hearing Bentley pulling out of their manufacturer, their works program in GT3 for the International GT Challenge. Other manufacturers have done the same. And it might well be that just getting people back to work, building and selling cars is somewhat further up the list than going manufacturer racing, and as much as it pains me to say it, I'm not sure I can argue with that if you're running a business.
No, I completely agree. I mean, the bottom line is the bottom line, and but not only is it financial bottom line these days, but you have to take into account, I think, all your for the manufacturer's perspective, all their employees, all the people that are buying cars. You know, it's difficult times for everybody now, and you know, some people will see motor racing as a somewhat frivolous expense, or certainly not a necessary expense. Mm. Other manufacturers don't see it that way, but some do, and you have to respect that point of view, particularly in difficult times.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Thank you for all your questions to Michelin PRT and on the Facebook page at Radio Show Limited Listeners Collective. Shall we do this again sometime soon, do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, I think I'd be up for that. Yeah, why not? Yes, please.
Where would you like to go next in this odyssey that is 2020?
That's a good question. Actually, I hadn't thought about it. It's Road America next. What about Road America? Is that a fun place to go to or what?
Yeah, another 2 hour, 40 minute race down there. Sheer cracking race and plenty going on to keep us all excited. And plenty of stuff going on in the pits, exactly as we said in the Porsche keys to the race.
Yeah, you don't need a lot of cars for there to be a lot of chaos in the pit lane.
That's true.
And once again, what happened there really changed the face of the whole race. And I can't wait until we get to Road America, where the pit lane is a little bit wider, and things are going to be just as exciting, I'm sure.
Thank you very much indeed for your efforts. Curry is back in London, making sure we went to the world, and Tim Gray was also helping out there. He's our executive producer. You know, it's been a fabulous return to racing in Florida for IMSA with the two-hour 40 races at Daytona and Sebring, places that we think of as venues for the longer endurance races. They've proved beyond the shadow of a doubt that the shorter sprint format works well. We've had mid-20s fields for both of those. We move on to America's National Park of Speed next. It is Road America, and we'll have it all live for you on IMSA Radio and IMSA TV. Thanks for spending some of your weekend with us. Enjoy what's left. I'm John Hindhoff for the whole team from the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre on IMSA Post Race Tech. Thanks for your time. See you at the next one. Ooh. Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday, 8 o'clock UK time. Bye-bye.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.